And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, just a reminder, please take the poll that is up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I ask a real simple multiple choice question. Who had a greater influence on U.S. history? Was it Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez? Go ahead, cast your vote up there. You'll be able to see the results instantaneously as soon as you cast your vote. I will announce the overall results on Thursday's show. The poll's up on my website, brainstormin, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. As I said, every show has a theme, and today's theme is the past, the present, and the future. Each of my guests is discussing a topic that pertains to the past, the present, or the future. My next guest is a consultant and part-time CEO of a software development company. He'll explain how great leaders convert people into partners from his latest book titled Radical Trust. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. The Wall Street Journal called Joe Healy a pioneer and Renaissance man whose content is filled with distilled wisdom. Very high praise. He's the author of Radical Trust, How Today's Great Leaders Convert People into Partners. Radical Trust equips managers to fuel growth, attract and retain talent, and create an organization that clients love. Joe is currently both a consultant and a part-time CEO of CCG Systems Incorporated. That's a software development company and fleet solutions firm that was founded way back in 1982. Joe's consulting practice was founded in 1989, and he's equipped professionals to master change and grow revenue by developing leaders and sales professionals. He's served clients on four different continents. Joe's storytelling is woven from his radical business and personal life, and he has had many adventures that he and his wife, Jill, their three children, they decided that they were going to spend 18 months exploring in a customized motorhome, and we'll probably ask him about that during the interview as well. Journalists voted Joe the world's best presenter in the year 2000. Joining us from Virginia Beach. Hi, Joe. How are you doing today?
Hello, Bill. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you for joining us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Love to have thought leaders like yourself on the show. So as we're going through these challenging business times, it's pretty clear that many businesses are going to have to reevaluate and reorganize how they do business. They need to innovate. They need to change. But before they can do that effectively, however, you think there needs to be an underlying element that needs to exist. That's trust. Why is trust so important if a business is going to succeed in these times?
A couple different reasons. The first one is that creativity is really essential to businesses thriving today, particularly this organization I'm involved in now, CCG. And by the way, we've actually renamed our company to follow the product line we've had for some 20-some years called Faster. So we refer to the company now as Faster.
Ah.
I need to update my bio. But, you know, our company, Faster, is in the technology business, and creativity is absolutely essential to being able to evolve technology and keep up with what is a very fluid, dynamic environment. And it's not just technology. If you look at any sector of the industry, pretty much every sector in this economy especially is what people say dynamic or fluid, and thus creativity has become. I would argue that if you interviewed CEOs from any sector, you would say that their need for their people to be creative and fluid is probably doubled since the economy has hit. And the reason that trust is so important to creativity is that when you have a trust-filled environment, when you have leaders that are earning trust, number one, people are more willing to express their idea. But when you have a low-trust environment, here's what happens. The people that have the strongest personalities tend to win the day with a good idea. And this is a fundamentally important point. Organizations often only get less than half of the horsepower from the brains in the organization because the vast majority of people in organizations aren't great at being able to sell their ideas. So what happens is the creative ideas of those that can sell better win the day, and that sometimes those aren't the best ideas. But in a high-trust environment, people are more willing to give their ideas. They're not afraid of failure, and people that are good at selling aren't just trying to sell their ideas. They're actually trying to get the best idea up to win the day, so to speak. So creativity is the first thing that I would say results from a high-trust environment. The second one is productivity. And again, it's critical in this age. There's a term called discretionary effort. And it's a critical thing that particularly today is important to to younger generation, and that is when many of us came to work 10, 20, 30 years ago, the idea of coming to work and working at the same place for a long time was much higher. But nowadays, younger folks are looking and saying, I need a reason to work. And the reason isn't the same as my parents. And often the reason is that they care about where they go and the people where they go care about them. And that results in what's called a higher discretionary investment. So in other words, when you have employees that feel like the leaders are working during their trust, they are willing to give more of themselves, more of the discretionary effort. And again, huge impact on productivity.
All right, I see both of those. My guest is Joe Healy. We're talking about his book, Radical Trust. So I'm going to ask the converse question if I can. So if trust is so important, why do companies lack the necessary trust to really execute effective change or execute effective innovation?
I would say that the big reason is that people, leaders particularly, do not take seriously enough the traits. And I would use the term character traits. There's another term that's an important term, and if your listeners haven't heard this term, it's worth doing a little research on. It's called emotional quotient, or you could use the term emotional maturity. If you study much the subject of emotional maturity or emotional quotient, what it's doing is putting forth the argument that really fundamental character traits, such as honesty and integrity, are the result of the maturing process of a person. And people that are more mature with those traits are more successful. In fact, it often lends itself to most employers would rather have somebody that has a high emotional maturity quotient as opposed to a high IQ. And when you talk about the things that go into someone having strong character or what some would call strong emotional quotient, there's seven things I reference in my book. And the first couple I'll dive into here, and they are integrity, which is in what I call doing what you say you'll do. But integrity is a result of two other things, and a lot of leaders struggle with these two other things, and they are internal honesty, which you can call internal reasoning, and the other one is candor, which is simply honesty with others. If you look at the complaints people have about leaders today, whether it's government, politics, business, nonprofit, or in faiths or religion, there's a consistent pattern, and that is the leaders may be good at being candid, but they're not good at drilling into what the root cause issues are. They're not good at what I call internal honesty and assessing the real problem. And so particularly with this bad economy, there are a lot of leaders who just come up short with having the capability that they've matured and honed over the years to be internally honest about dealing with problems and naming problems. And so of the seven traits that I identify in my book that great leaders possess, I would say the one that right now is most critical that's lacking is internal honesty. The ability to reason and a willingness to identify and name the real problems and uncover what people in business call the root cause. Instead of putting Band-Aids on problems, identify what the real issues are that we need to tackle. The neat thing about that is when you get a group of people rallying around the real root cause, it's hard to get there. This organization, Faster, that I took over as CEO 3.5 years ago, my initial agreement and contract was for part-time. Within 6 months, this is a wonderful company with a wonderful culture, and we have absolutely fabulous customers. Within 6 months, what we did is we uncovered some extremely serious root issues that hadn't been dealt with in many years. And with the economy coming the way it was coming, with some competition coming the way it was coming, it was very painful initially for the culture to admit that these serious problems existed. But once we named them, the enthusiasm and commitment to fix them and address them, everyone rallied around them. And part of that rallying was that I had to all of a sudden become full-time. And so I then began to put in a lot more hours. But I will tell you, I probably worked 80 hours a week, and I kid you not, for the past 3.5 years with these wonderful people.
Wow.
But the fulfillment I've gotten has been so great because when you sit back and can see these very talented people producing, we had the most, we had the best sales year in our history in 2009. And we've had two record profit years in the last couple of years. And in spite of that, and that's in spite of the fact we invested more in giving our customers new products than ever before in history, and we've improved our support. But when I look at the why question, the answer goes right back to these good people who are willing to name the root issues, willing to rally around it. But all of it came, our president recently retired, and she's a wonderful woman, her name's Nina. And Nina had said, Joe, the thing that was the biggest change in our culture and our company to turn it around was naming the real problem. And I think, Bill, if you talk about this economy and you talk about trust and you ask what is the one thing that their organizations and leaders need to get better at, it's truly this internal honesty, the naming of what are the real problems.
All right. My guest is Joe Healy, author of the book Radical Trust, How Today's Great Leaders Convert People into Partners. Joe, I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this on two points. I love your story about Faster, how you've taken that over and how you've made the change. But my first point is this, that getting to what you call the internal honesty really requires cutting through what many companies call tribal knowledge, you know, the knowledge that has just been passed down. That's the way we've always done it. There was a reason for it, perhaps in the old days. That reason may no longer exist, but people continue to do it that way. And you have all of this tribal knowledge that just perpetuates itself and perpetuates itself. And I'm going to argue that since it took you as an outsider coming into Faster to get them to own up to that internal honesty that an insider can't do. Could an insider have done what you have done, do you think?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, I'll validate part of your point by saying the following. The 20 years I spent that I don't have as much time to do, where I did executive coaching, executive consulting, and a lot of speaking about these issues, in those 20 years, the thing that was great about being a consultant and coming in from the outside is you do look a lot smarter than you are. Because for the very point you raised, as you come in from the outside, you're not steeped and mired in the status quo. You don't have the ties to know that you saying a certain truth will offend a certain group of people who have incorrectly bought into a mentality or a practice or a process. So I think you're right. It is, there's a certain advantage an outsider has in being able to see and assess. I believe that's true. But I will also say that there are so many hurdles coming as an outside that you didn't name the disadvantages coming in from the outside. So let me say this. Let me name the disadvantage, because when you come in from the outside, it takes a lot of work, particularly in a culture like ours, that like many cultures, they had a lot to be proud of. This company's been in business 28 years, and there's just a hugely rich tradition and commitment to customer service and many other great things about the history of this company, where people had a lot of reason to have pride, and they did indeed have pride. But the challenge is to get people who are proud of something and who yet haven't seen the warning sign to be willing to assess and change directions is very, very difficult for an outsider, because you're not one of them yet. You know, it takes time. So just as it's difficult for an insider to assess and name and get and have the credibility to rally people around what are some truths people don't see, it is often easier for an insider to get cooperation, though. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense, and that leads me into what I wanted to talk about with you. In terms of being an outsider, you have to come in and establish that radical trust that you write about in the book, and that gives us a chance to talk about your model, because radical trust begins with character trust, and then it moves into execution and communication trust, and finally you get that loyalty trust that you obviously have engendered with your people at Faster. So let's talk about each of those in turn. We've touched on character trust already, about the integrity, the honesty, and the candor. Let's talk a little bit about the execution trust and the communication trust, because those are critical next steps once you've established your own personal character trust.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is important, and there's a lot of old sayings that go along with this, and one of them is, nothing leads to success like success. And often when you have to turn around an organization, when you have to get people to embrace change and move forward, if you can identify some success points that you can gain early, it often helps people to rally around each other, and obviously helps them gain confidence in the outsider. One of the mistakes I've often seen new leaders make is they try to create an artificial cheap success so they can name it and claim it. The problem is people today are smart, they're astute, and you can't have these artificial successes to prop up. It's got to be real and meaningful. But if you can have some early successes, you know, example of something we did is we identified something that customers wanted for many, many years. And the company had worked on, and actually one of the things that happened when I first came in is, and it's a dashboard. A dashboard allows our customers to measure metrics about the progress. And the company had been working on a dashboard, and they wanted to release it. And early on in my tenure, I asked some of the folks if the product quality is what it should be, and the answer I got was mixed. So we asked a customer to look at it, and one of the people actually lied about it and came back and said the customer said it was great, it's ready to release. And just my instincts were telling me this employee wasn't telling the truth. So I called the customer myself. Turns out he said the opposite. And the employee had a vested interest in releasing that bad version, so we scrapped that whole dashboard. And we looked at it and we said, we think this is really important for our customers. So we said, let's create a stretch goal. We've got all these other priorities, but if we can come out with a dashboard, it's really going to be helpful. Let's make a stretch goal. And that was January. And we made a stretch goal to have it done in June. Well, we had it pretty well done in June, but it wasn't until the next fall it really came out.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a tremendous momentum gained by that because everybody knew it gave value to our customers, and everybody felt really good about what they had built, and it was real, and we could put our hands on it. And so execution has to do with delivering, and if you can have execution successes, it propels the cultural shift.
Oh, that is great. My guest is Joe Healy, author of the book Radical Trust, How Today's Great Leaders Convert People into Partners. Joe, you've written this book. What do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Radical Trust?
I think there are a couple things. Number one is that leadership is something that is a function of maturity, and not of age maturity, but of character maturity, emotional quotient maturity first. And that gives organizations and people great hope. If they understand what leadership is, you're not born into it. It is something that leaders are built. They're not born. Number two is that there's a lot of talk about differences today, generational differences, cultural differences, diversity. The reality is that these emotional traits that build trust, emotional quotient traits, the character traits, cut across all these sectors, whether it's generations or cultures, and they speak and they rally people together. So trust is a cornerstone of that. And thirdly, I put four cases forward in my book of organizations. A couple of for-profit, one is a nonprofit at-risk youth organization. And I talk about some government agencies. And the reality is, in my 20 years of consulting and having the privilege to be brought in from the outside and see organizations, I have consistently seen that organizations that have high trust outperform by a significant margin those that do not. And outperform their past by a significant margin as they grow trust between people. Those are the takeaways I'd like people to have.
Well, my guest has been Joe Healy, author of the book Radical Trust. And Joe, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
They can go to my consulting website. It's my name, joehealy.com. That's J-O-E-H-E-A-L-E-Y. There's an E before the Y. And my trust model is right there on my site, and they can explore it. There's a lot of educational material attached to that trust model.
Oh, that is great. JoeHealy.com is the site, everybody. Joe, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My privilege. Thanks so much.
Thank you.